Hi, everyone. I'm Joanna.
And I'm Jenny.
And this is Hyphenated, the podcast about living in the hyphen. We haven't uploaded in a couple weeks, so we're excited. We're excited to be back.
The holidays are cray cray.
It feels like this time of year, I get very weirdly emotional because it feels like the end of an era, and the era being just a year. And it always feels like, oh, did I accomplish everything I wanted to accomplish? Did I do everything I wanted to do? Even though time will continue inevitably in a linear fashion. And it's not like anything's going to end. But
it's funny to be aware of that. And yet we still follow that timeline. I get the same way. I get extremely emotional, sentimental, stressed. Like I play this like vitamin C graduation PowerPoint presentation scenario, like, as we go on we remember. Of like,
and it's like pictures
year,
of you, like, yeah,
you know, like, oh look, all these memories and stuff. And I panic because I panic at the end of every year regarding my career specifically. I'm like, what am I gonna do next year?
It just feels like time, you know, they, I'm gonna ruin your life, but this is a fact that I heard, and ever since I heard it a couple weeks ago, it's been basically haunting me. I don't know if I've told you this already, but basically the half point in your life when it comes to memories is the age of 22. So from 0 to 22, in terms of how your brain conceptualizes time, like that is the half point in your life. You know how now age and years just pass by quicker?
Yeah.
Like, but when you were younger, when you were 8 to 9, felt like 10 years.
Yes.
So the actual memory half point in time in your brain is 22.
Oh my God. I think that's because of school.
Well, I think it's just... We're going through so many changes at that. Like, I look exactly the same as I look like, you know, 4 years ago, except for my hair being longer. But 4 years for a child from 8 to 12 right. is just 17 different people, you know?
Yeah, that's true. There's so much going on. You're still developing in various areas. I didn't continue to develop in the realm of boobage and height, but that's besides the point. But I do think, at least for me and my wackadoo ADHD, the kid who would sit in class and literally stare at the clock until it was over, I think school is what really made childhood drag for me. Mm. I was like, when is this over? It just felt like forever. It just was grueling for me. Just like, so I think like, because think about it, most people graduate with their bachelor's around 22, you know, to 24. And then,
yeah.
And then, shoom, into adulthood you go with work and career bullshit and other things. And at least for me, that's what made shit go way too slow.
I know. I think you're right.
Was, well, the United States education system.
It's also, I think about my days at school and I'm like, how the fuck did I have so much energy? It was like, yeah, you had class from 9 to 4 and then you had after school activities from 4 to 7. Then you had homework from 7 to 9. Like, what the hell? What the hell? Like, half of that feels like I go to work and then I get out of work and I'm like, oh my God, that was so hard. I agree. Like, I do think they try to jam pack as much as possible because our brains are forming and obviously,
yeah,
you know, developing. The more that you stimulate it, the more intelligence, I guess, we get. I don't know how it works. I'm not a teacher or a neurologist, but there is this feeling of time slipping by now. This is such a bummer of an episode, but like, I do feel like I miss the days when, you know, like I was looking forward to turn 13, I was looking forward to turn 15. I was looking forward to turn 18. I was looking forward to turn 21. These were all like big milestones in someone's life. 25, I could rent a car. I'm like, I don't need to age anymore. I'm fine. Like that, I'm not looking forward to any other age. There's not like, God, I fucking can't wait till I turn 60. Like, truly, that's the time where I can get museum passes for half the price. That is not enough of a sell for me to want to age.
Yeah. It's like a blessing to age, right? I always think about that, you know, when I see a wrinkle or some bullshit age-related physical
manifestation,
whatever. And I'm like, well, you lived long enough to experience this, bitch. And so I have to constantly remind myself of that. But I feel like for me, as the older I get, it's less about looking forward to turning a certain age and more about, well, I hope I reach this goal by this age.
Right. Right.
Like, I better. Right.
And if I don't.
Yeah. That's really how I go about my aging. But again, it's very much tied to my career. Then again, it could be because you and I are both married already. So at least that's off the table. I'm not like, oh my gosh, by this age, I have to be married. And then I don't want to have kids. So there's no time for that. I don't give a fuck. But so for me, what's on the table right now? It's like, oh, my career goals. And I don't know, like financial goals. Those are the two for me.
Oh, well, you know, I'm contemplating kids, but since I'm a woman, the contemplation can't last very long, which is so fucked up.
I know.
Like, I truly, it's the most important decision you can make in your entire lifetime. And women are like, well, you know, you just feel like you got your act together. You got to decide whether you're going to have a baby or not. And it's just that for me is a big, you know, pressure point and an anxiety. And specifically when I go back, quote unquote, home, not being Venezuela because I can't go back home, but like to Miami and seeing all my friends from Caracas, they all have kids. They all live a very different life than I do. You know, they live in a nice house in the suburbs. They just got to a point in their career. And I'm like, my career is a nightmare. I'm up one day, down another day. I don't know if I want to have kids. And for them, every time I go, I'm dreading this. I'm going and I'm dreading how many times people are going to ask me when I'm going to have kids. Daniel, my husband, no one ever asks him, obviously. It's claro always
que no.
me.
Claro que no.
And it is another pressure point in time passing. So it's like, you know how a bell curve works, you know, like it's like it goes up and then to a certain peak and then it goes down. The benefits of aging for me feel like a bell curve. And I'm like, I'm approaching the negative part. And I will say, I love that I'm wiser. I love that I like myself significantly more now than at any point. And I think as time passes, I like myself more because I get to know myself more. And, you know, you become more you as time passes. But I'm very different than you. I see a wrinkle and I panic. I have a lot of, I can't believe I'm saying this, I have a lot of white hairs. Okay, bro, I got a fuck ton of white hairs everywhere. I have white hairs now on my body, not just on my hair. Oops. Oh, my head. Okay.
Oops.
Okay. Oop. That's not supposed to happen.
Well,
that's not supposed to happen.
Then again, it's been a very stressful year. It's been a very stressful 4 years. I think people are getting white hairs sooner than they would like. Because we, especially as millennials, we have not caught a break, you know?
It's crazy.
Yeah, so I between COVID and the strikes and world affairs, everything like politically, everything's a shit show. So
we're also getting like deluged. I don't know.
What?
We're getting overwhelmed. We're getting overwhelmed with the amount of information there is in the world. We've always been overwhelmed by information.
Yeah.
So like, I think it makes everything feel more acute, like more intense.
Yes.
Like, you know, in our youth, I'd be like, all I can think about is throwing the best 16th birthday party ever. And now I'm like, oh, my party in March, I'm going to throw my birthday. And then I'm like, what if there's another pandemic? Or like, what if war? Like, you know, it's the stresses of life, like they become more grandiose. And I don't know if this happens to you, but when I was younger, I wouldn't cry so easily with things like movies or songs or music. Mm-hmm. And I remember my parents would make me watch this opera every fucking Sunday called Rigoletto. It's not by Verdi. It's by someone else. Rigoletto.
Okay.
Rigoletto.
Rigoletto.
And I hated it. I hated going to the opera. I hated it. They had this on tape and they would like fucking VCR this shit and I would have to watch it on this goddamn like VCR over and over again. And then they bought me tickets to go see it live. And as a child, this opera was my nightmare. As a child, this opera signified like the equivalent, I guess, for a lot of people going to church because I had to sit through it without feeling anything. And, you know?
Yeah.
And there I am and I'm sitting there. And I'm watching this opera and we're at the third act or the second act, I guess. And I'm going to ruin Rigoletto for you. But basically, this guy's daughter dies. And there's this like song that they sing to each other. I'm going to start fucking tearing up right now. And look at me.
Joanna.
I don't know what's wrong with me. And it's a fucking like opera, bro. Like, you know, these people are in these ridiculous garbs singing in language I don't understand. And then there's this beautiful moment between a dad and a daughter and a dad losing his daughter and his daughter loving someone so intensely. Like, I got it. It was like a moment in my life where this fucking annoying opera made sense to me and I cried. I cried, pero moco tendido. I was like...
¿Qué eso? Moco like, tendido. What does that mean? Hanging boogers?
Oh, it's... Yeah, like in Venezuela, como que estaba llorando moco tendido. Como que like your boogers are just
oh,
like...
Oh, I guessed it correctly. Because I was you thinking totally of like moco, which I know is boogers. And then I think of tendadera, which my abuela would... You know, hang the laundry outside. So, like, wait, moco tendido.
You're
dando
moco tendido. You're a genius, bro. You literally guessed it.
You know,
you're literally a genius, bro. Like, literally.
Like, you know, but that's so interesting because I feel like I've gotten, maybe it's the Prozac. You know what? It's the Prozac. I don't cry as much anymore. I used to, but here's the thing, bro. I used to cry too much. Like, just everything would make me cry. I was a sensitive piece of shit. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to cry. The problem was I would cry when there was no reason to cry. And anything would break me, especially when I was PMSing, which, again, I was diagnosed with PMDD, which is premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which is a more severe version of PMS. Not in the crampy... achy, let me dip pickles in cream cheese fucking PMS. I'm talking that's more of pregnancy, isn't it? But I'm talking more about the emotional and mental effects, and I was not okay. I had anger problems. I was just, it was the worst, and Prozac has really leveled me out, but now it's even harder for me to cry. Like, I remember I cried watching Haley Joel Osment in Artificial Intelligence in the movie theater. I was a kid. I cried during Moulin Rouge, but then again, who didn't?
I mean, Moulin Rouge, bro.
It was Moulin Rouge, and Ewan McGregor was amazing, and I cried. I remember being just like so in love with love, and like, and I would cry watching like Backstreet Boys concert videos on VHS. And now it's so hard for me to cry, you know?
Interesting. We have like opposite maturing. Opposite maturing.
I mean,
like, I feel like I realize how sad and hard and happy life is, and like human kindness, like those stupid Instagram videos of people like giving someone a salad, which, you know, isn't really altruistic because they're filming a video and posting it on the internet, but like they make me cry. And like I'll listen, I was listening to Adios Nonino, the song by Astor Piazzolla, I think it is, this Argentinian, and my parents would like replay this goddamn song in the car, and I'd be like, there's no lyrics in this goddamn song. And I heard it recently, and in the car I started bawling, not just like no, just like Adios Nonino means bye little grandpa, this is about mourning. And so I feel like I was very sensitive like you, but I would cry when things hurt my feelings, but I wouldn't.
Yes.
I wouldn't see things external to me and feel them so deeply as I do now. And that's something that I do attribute to aging. And like, it's almost like as you age, you become a tree. You know how trees are connected to other trees? Like, I didn't know this, but a tree isn't just a tree. A tree mm-hmm. is connected to the bushes around it, the trees. It's like an ecosystem under the ground. It's a and they communicate to it. These fucking trees communicate to each other. It's psychotic. I couldn't believe it when I watched the documentary about this. I feel like human beings start out as like little bushels, you know, not connected to anything. And then as you age, well, at least for me, I think you do feel things. Maybe you don't cry about it. You feel
things. No, I 100% am constantly feeling things, yeah.
Yes. And then as the tree grows, like you connect with the earth, right? And you connect with the bushels and the trees and the fungi and the this, and you aren't just your tree anymore, bro. You're like you feel this ridiculous Puccini opera that you have nothing in common with these characters or the person that wrote it, and you feel the human emotion behind it. What the fuck? It's so overwhelming. Because I think that life now, oh my God, we're getting so, we really get sad in the holidays, don't we? Or at least pensative.
Yeah.
But it's like, I realize how bad things and good things in life aren't abstract anymore. Like we are living life. And when you're a kid and when you're younger, you're like, yeah, like nothing bad's going to happen to me. And like, okay, yeah, someone's grandpa died. Yeah, that happened. And then you're like, no, one day I will be the grandma and I'm going to die. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You're
yeah,
just connected yeah. to people's experience more because you understand it more.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's harder for my tear ducts to create anything, but that's, again, it literally says it here on my Stanley cup.
What does it say? Wait.
It's a sticker.
Sponsored
that says,
by Prozac.
And then underneath, it's a sticker that says, only dogs can judge me.
I love those two stickers for you, Jenny. I feel like I want stickers that exemplify me in that way. What does that one say?
It says, stop stressing over shitty people.
Oh my God. This Stanley Cup is like your like a Bible. Like these and, are the rules of your life. And then it's just a dog in a bowl. Is that a dog in a
so
salad
this
bowl?
This is one of my favorite dogfluencers. His name is Lil Hobbs. And
is that
he's
a corgi?
No, he is a geriatric chihuahua.
Obsessed.
And he hobbles. That's why his name is Lil Hobbs. And so he gets aquatic therapy. Like, and he's hilarious. Everyone check out his little Instagram. He's great.
We all have a favorite dogfluencer that helps us get through the day. Mine, oh my God, Marshmallow. It's interesting. I'm not even kidding. Like when I'm like overwhelmed by life, I go to Marshmallow's page because I'm like, this dog is so pure and innocent, even though she's a nightmare. Apparently, she like bites. But
That's so funny because like, my it's just like the other dogfluencer that she's a chihuahua. Her name is Maddie. And she has no teeth, but she bites.
See, you know, Daniel sometimes asks me, like, wouldn't it be amazing to just be a dog? You just wake up, you eat, someone takes care of you, you sleep, you poop, you, like, chill, you vibe. Like, what,
yeah,
a,
man.
What,
a, yeah.
what would you rather be reincarnated as a dog on the Upper East Side or just, like, roll the dice on being a person anywhere?
No, a dog on the East Side.
100%.
Or a Disneyland duck.
Yes.
They're born into luxury and plenty of popcorn.
Wait, are they really? Because they take care of those ducks on in Disney World, right?
Not really. I mean, they just exist. I mean, they're well fed. They have all these areas to chill. They have no idea.
Talk about winning the animal lottery. You know, you're like, fuck, you're reincarnated and you're a fucking duck. And you're like, God damn it. The chances for survival are so slim. But then you're a duck in Disneyland where people are like, oh, my God, careful with the ducks. And like, the lakes are fake and perfect and people throw food at you and you just walk around and there's no predators.
Yep.
You won the fucking lottery.
They get free fireworks shows every night. I think the worst thing they have to deal with are like annoying kids who weren't taught how to respect animals' boundaries. But anyway.
I feel like, oh my God, wait, I have a character for you, Jenny.
What?
It's the duck bodyguard at Disney. And it's just someone who is like, I can't stand these children running for these ducks and touching these ducks or trying to touch these ducks. These ducks have rights. And I'll do anything in my power to protect these ducks. I think that's a good character for you to workshop.
I'll explore that. I'll definitely explore that. But it's funny because when you're talking about crying easily, what definitely gets me to cry easily is animal stuff. I have the softest spot for animals. That is where I will cry still, is like anything involving animals, animal rescue videos.
Yeah, that's like your Achilles tear.
Like I completely...
Instead of Achilles heel?
Yeah. I completely understand John Wick. Everyone's like, what the fuck? This guy goes on a rampage because someone killed his beagle? Yes, bitch! I will Liam Neeson your ass.
Can I tell you something? I didn't know that's what John Wick was about. And someone was like, yeah, it's about a guy who gets angry because someone like kills his dog.
Okay,
like,
I mean, it's deeper than that because it's the dog that his wife gave him and his wife passes away at the beginning of the film.
Okay, well.
And so then I mean, he's already
isn't it a franchise though, girl?
It is.
There's like four.
But yeah, that's really what sets him off to start going, you know, buck wild is the dog's death. So yes.
So for you, like, okay, what is it about animals? Because that's sort of where your heart has grown the most, or like the softest spot. Like, what is it about animals and that makes you feel? Because I think what I feel in that moment is I feel very human. Like when I'm crying or when I'm feeling something very deeply, I feel more human. What is it about animals that makes you feel more human? What does it connect in you?
Because we are more connected. Like you said, regarding like trees, right? It's not just like a singular tree. I think we truly are all connected. And now I feel like I'm Mufasa talking to Simba, but...
I'm Simba.
It's a great circle of life. But these animals, they're so innocent. I think animals are truly pure. And I have an especially... I mean, yes, dogs are like my favorite of all time, right? But I actually also have a soft spot for like bugs and insects. Like I quite literally I was the bodyguard a few days ago for a cockroach. There was actually, we were shooting my short film at this store in LA. And they're like, well, we have a bit of an ant problem. And a bunch of ants were coming in to the bathroom sink and they put these little sticky things. I only went to the bathroom once because it broke my heart to see them all getting stuck on the paper. And I put myself in their shoes and I'm like, what a terrible, terrible way to die. And I love ants. Ants are so fucking cool. They do so much for the ecosystem. And I'm like, Jenny, let's be realistic here. You're not going to be able to save these ants. You need to shoot, right? But I did save the life of one ant. I was like, okay, I need to at least save one of them. And so I took one of them from the sink outside and I put him out on a bush. And I realize that I'm fucking weird compared to most people. Because most people are like, oh my God, I love dogs and like sea otters. But I will literally champion for those that are seen as disgusting or less than just because they're small. You know, spiders, freaking lizards, all these little creatures that people just so quickly go, fuck them, and they squash them. And I'm like, I don't want to have the power to end this bug's life. Like, if I can humanely remove them from my house, I will do that. So I don't remember the last time I ever killed any bug. It's been a long time.
I'm sorry, but a cockroach, I feel like, is... I mean, well, can we agree, cockroaches?
I'm lucky, ma'am. It would still kill me at this point, honestly, to kill even a cockroach. But thankfully, I haven't. Lilith. In Florida, it was a problem. Here, we rarely get cockroaches in like our places in LA. I think spiders are actually more common, and so, but spiders are, believe it or not, super easy to catch. It's like there's no reason to freaking squash them, especially because spiders do a lot for us anyway.
Like kill us.
No. The average spider house. But yeah, it's like me da lástima. I'm like, pobrecitos. Like they don't have a voice. To me, animals are more innocent than children. Yes, I said it. And
that's interesting.
Yes, yes. Because I was a child once.
No. And I get it. I understand what you're saying, and I understand your train of thought. And I think we are programmed to want to take care of things.
Right.
Whether that be an animal, whether that be a baby, whether that be an old person.
Right.
For me, old people, the equivalent for me is an elderly person. Which, you know, here I am laughing at you because you saved an ant, because I don't feel anything for ants. But like, how dare I laugh at that? Because I see an old man, like this happens to me regularly. I'll see an old man by himself and I literally start crying. I'm like, this is the saddest thing I've ever heard. And then my mom will be like, well, first of all, maybe he's fine being alone. And second of all, maybe he's a fucking asshole.
Dude, It's so funny you said that, because I also have a mega soft spot for viejitos, especially old men. And I think it's because obviously they remind me of like my abuelo.
And
my abuelo was honestly the best fucking man. But he was also, he grew up fatherless with like 8 sisters and a mom. He was very respectful of women. He was like one of a kind. And exactly what you said. I'm like, Jenny, what if this guy's a massive pervert? What if he's sexist as fuck? What if he's just a piece of shit?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're here pobrecito, viejito.
pero, you know, I think we suffer. Like, I think we suffer. I feel like I find myself suffering less about stuff that happens to me as I grow older. Like, yeah, someone is mad at me. I'm like, well, I'll resolve it. It's okay. A health scare. Okay, well, this sucks. I'll figure it out. Someone I love is sick. Okay, this is terrible. I'm gonna just go to therapy and spend more time with this person. But like, I feel more como desatada and more weak and more like in pain by what is around me now, like old, like that I have to tell myself, like not every old person that you see is un pobrecito, for God's sake. Like you can't think like that. You're gonna die.
I know.
I recently watched this documentary. I think it's called Nice Picture, Beautiful Life, or Beautiful Picture, Lovely Life. It's on HBO. I didn't even read about it. I just played it, right?
Right.
And I start watching this, and it opens on this like scene of this granddaughter seeing her grandfather, this sweet old man, like the sweetest old man you've ever seen. Like, oh, my darling. And I'm like literally crying. I'm like, this is so beautiful human connection. Like, you, how will I feel when I'm that age? And what will I? And then like the next scene is like, my grandfather was a child molester. And I'm like, wait, what? What? And the whole movie is about this guy being a horrible child molester throughout his life, and the granddaughter being like, bro, you have to say sorry. I'm like, oh,
oops.
Now I don't know how to feel. Now these feelings are complicated and nuanced. And as you know, you grow older, feelings are more complicated and nuanced. But, you know, something about animals is it's more simple,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, even if a animal kills a human, like, that is survival, right? That isn't malice necessarily. So there's this like clarity in purpose, yeah. and an intention. And that's why animals feel, although they are not innocent, because they do some fucked up shit to survive. Like seeing a cheetah chug an antelope is traumatizing. but it's just survival.
Right.
And I feel like, as you know, I feel very naive with humans. I feel like you're more realistic with humans. I'm very naive with humans. I think most humans are good, and I tend to like love and feel things for humans. And then it's like, you know, maybe not, that's not where the love should go, because that person might not be great. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I think I'm a little more jaded regard. I used to be more naive with humans.
Yeah.
And I do. I still try to always see the best in people first. That's just who I am. But I think social media has kind of ruined that for me, especially mm-hmm. because we see a lot of humanity's worst front and center mm-hmm. on social media. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about like Rebecca's like fashion Instagram account. I'm talking about like yeah. everything going on in the world. So much bigotry, so much hatred, like the way people handled COVID, the way people just didn't give up, especially in this country. I've lost so much faith. And it's hard because I'm not going to meet every single person that has ever existed and know exactly what the balance is of good versus bad. But I feel like lately we've been fed a lot of the bad. And... Mm-hmm. I'm a little more jaded. I'm a little more like, mm-hmm. you know what? And again, I try to be empathetic, and I'm like, yeah, clearly this person is either going through something or had a really traumatic past, and this is why they are how they are and why they operate the way they do. But it still sucks. I do try to take things less personally. That's one thing I try to work on, because again, I used to cry very easily if someone had a weird tone with me or gave me attitude. So it's tough, man. Navigating people is extremely tough. And when you surround yourself by animals, you're just like, oh my God, there is more to life than the bullshit that we as people put each other through. So that's why I go to like places like the Farm Sanctuary and Gentle yeah. Barn.
You just hang out with a llama.
Pretty much, man. Like, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'm just like, I want to get away. Especially mm-hmm. when you're in this industry, you kind of do get mm-hmm. some of the worst of humanity in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No shock there. And you just want to get away from that vanity and that bullshit and that fake crap. And, you know, just animals will never be fake. They are who they are. And I think for a neurodivergent person, it is heaven to be surrounded by animals and nature, because you're just like, finally, we're all just who we are. You know, not this like, oh my God, I have to mask and they're going to judge me and they're going to this. And are they talking shit about me? Are they being fake? Are they using me? Is it... Ugh. It's a lot, man. you know?
I think it's so interesting how we like when, for me, when life becomes too much or when I'm overwhelmed or when I feel very disheartened and disappointed, it's interesting that I do the opposite. I need people and I need to connect. I desperately need to connect with people. Oh, not like anyone necessarily, although I do that. I'll go to my front desk and talk to the guy that works at the front desk just to see how he's doing. But for me, the way that I handle it is I need people. And I think that I generally connect with the world through people. Mm-hmm. And it's my roots. It's my tree's roots to the bushels and to the smaller trees and to the fungi is like people. But like, yeah, like you put me in a cabin by myself surrounded by animals, and I will, I'll freak out. I'll be like, get me out of here. I'm going to have a panic attack.
Well, it's weird because I feel like I'm depicting myself like Daria or something. Like, leave me alone, humans.
I think it's very normal.
I just think I'm just more careful is what it is because I truly have some of the most amazing people in my life now. It just took a lot of work on myself and a lot of weeding out and a lot of learning about human psychology and learning how to protect yourself. I just can't be this like when I used to be super open, I would get hurt the most. So I think it's hard. You got to find that balance of putting trust in people, letting people in, but also protecting yourself and listening to your gut. Because I'm the same. I don't like being alone. I really don't. I'm like, I love being in company of my friends.
Right.
People who get me. But yeah, people can be exhausting, especially people who aren't being their authentic selves.
Yeah, which as time passes, I think the meanest people, you say like social media has showed us like really ugly sides of humanity, and I completely and totally agree. I also think that the meanest I've ever seen people is school. Like, I've never been confronted like physically in front of someone with someone being that mean and awful to me than when I was a kid. And now, I guess through life decisions and luck, like, yes, it's happened a couple times, but just generally the people, as you've said, like the people I've chosen and in my life have, you know, I rarely get hurt. And if I get hurt, it's not the way that I got hurt when I was a kid and being bullied in like fourth grade. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like relentlessly bullied. Yeah. But it's like, I think I look back at time with nostalgia and like, oh God, it was so great. And I don't know if that's true or the case or fair. And I think what I'm going to try to do as we move forward, you know, with the inevitable aging process is not to look back as much, because we inevitably, you know what they say, one of my favorite quotes, everything is illuminated by the aura of nostalgia. And that's like the quote everyone quotes, but no one finishes that quote because that quote ends with even the guillotine. So everything's illuminated by the aura of nostalgia. Oh, how nice. It's nostalgic. I love the past. Even the guillotine, even the thing that takes and chops people's heads off. Bro, no. Sometimes when you look at the past, you see it, you know, through these rose-colored glasses, and the present will at one point be seen with those rose-colored glasses. So maybe the New Year resolution is like, try to see the present with the rose-colored glasses, and the future is going to be better, because I think we're happier now than we were, you know, 10 years ago. I can say that for myself. So let's try to be happy.
One of my favorite quotes is from The Office. It's from the season, the whole finale. Well, Andy Bernard, he goes, I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you've actually left them.
That's a horrible fucking quote. That's so true. My mom says a quote in Spanish like that all the time. What was it that she says? She's like, si solo supiéramos lo felices que queramos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I try to remember that now.
Yeah. Good old days. This is a good old days.
Like, I try to be more mindful of that, of like, you know, like right now, right? Like, it's so stressful, like trying to climb up the ladder in this industry and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, Jenny, you're gonna look back on like these small shoots with Kevin and David and your friends with like minimal equipment making this Abuelas series, right? Like, you know, hopefully one day I will, you know, move up and I'm in a position where I look back at my like content creation days. And I still do that already with like BuzzFeed and the beginning of Pero Like and how we all started at the very beginning. I'm sure you have those memories of like, because with you're Lama, also 100%. You're also a trailblazer in the Latino space in the U.S. regarding comedy and relatable content. Like, like it's crazy to think about, Joanna, but we are the trailblazers of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think about mm-hmm. like your time at Flama and my time at Pero Like and Me Too and go, oh my God, like, and all the memories made there. Even though it was stressful and there was a lot of bullshit, there's always those like good old days memories, you know, of like, damn.
Yeah.
And I didn't take enough time to really sit with that. So I try to do that now with where I'm at, you know.
It's hard though, right?
It is.
It's hard.
Of course it is.
When this podcast is over one day, you know, we're going to be like, God, it was so good. But then, you know, today we were texting like, fuck, okay, what time? Oh my God, work got crazy. This weekend's impossible. And we're like, oh my God, how are we going to make this work?
Yeah.
And, you know, we get bogged down with the day to day, you know, it's like, you know, I think I've said this before, but like pointillism, I always think life as like that painting with all those, this pointillist painting with all those people sitting in a park. Where is it? What is it? Oh, God, what is it called? Oh, it's like whatever in the park.
I know what you're talking about. I'm envisioning it now in my mind.
Yeah, there's this woman with like a really big skirt and like
an like umbrella. Yeah.
See, and it's this, and like I remember as a kid getting really, really close to see all the dots, and then you move, you know, to the back of the wall, and you see it come together, and like, you know, I guess I have to live by this, but like, you know, what I used to do in the museum as a kid is sort of what we don't do as adults, which is like we just look at the dots. We're just like staring right into like the painting, to the day-to-day, the little white dot next to the blue dot next to the yellow dot, and then you just see these fucking dots, and then you don't give yourself enough time to walk to the back of the wall to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think let's try and do that more in the new year. Like let's just be little kids looking at a painting we don't remember the name of years later, and you know, referencing it. It's on my friend's credit card too. I should know this. Like my friend's credit card is that little pointillist painting, which, you know, out of all the art she could have chosen, I think that might be the least credit cardy. But you know,
it's called A Sunday Afternoon on the Island of La Grande Jatte.
Oh, well, there you go, baby. You
there's
know,
no way I would have remembered that whole thing.
There's no way. Wait, who painted it?
George Seurat.
Seurat.
George's Seurat.
Georges Seurat. Georges Seurat.
I'm
that's
assuming
his name.
Yeah, I don't,
he's French.
Yeah. French. Okay, figure. I mean, okay. Jatte. I don't know if that's how you say it. It's spelled J-A-T-T-E.
I love it.
Jatte.
I wish it was a yacht.
Or Jatte.
Jatte.
I'm the worst.
Haven't taken
such
French
an annoying
many
American.
Years.
Yeah, no, it makes complete sense. Now I'm thinking of Clueless when she's like, she's a total Monet. From far
what
away,
did that
she
even
looks
mean?
Cute. But close up, she's a disaster.
That's so freaking funny.
That
speaking
is very
of disasters,
funny.
I have a disaster at work right now that
oh,
I need
gosh.
To.
Yeah,
it's like I'm overwhelmed with
I'm
how
so
bad
sorry.
This is. But when you hey,
but guess what? You're in the good old days.
We're in the good old days, and if I look at like the grand scheme of things, this day is just me doing what I like, even though it's a nightmare right now. And that's what
that's this life industry in a nutshell
all about.
Yeah,
and life. Life. Joie de vivre, as the French say, joy to life. Yes. Okay, my friend, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. All right.